Today, we're celebrating real men. How many real men do we have in the congregation? Oh, no, that sounds like a loaded question, doesn't it? Let's stand and let's read from 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read about David. David was a man's man. Now, the days of David... There we go, I forgot. Verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn. That the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. We're reminded today of, oh, how we need you. We need you in the daily struggles of this life. We need you in the battles of this life, in the storms as well as the calm. Heavenly Father, we need you. I pray that today you will fill this place with your Spirit, that you will convict of sin, that you will encourage those who are hurting, that you will move freely among us and answer every spiritual need present. Oh Lord, we love you. And we thank you for Calvary, for the sacrifice that was made for our sin. And now, Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said, David was a man's man, described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. A real man. But David is at the point in his life that he's on his deathbed. And he's blessed with the privilege of being on his deathbed. He gets to talk to his son one last time, Solomon. And he offers Solomon this advice. Solomon, you're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to be a wimp or are you going to be a warrior? And Solomon, be a man. Be a man. Be strong. And I'm going to start by saying I'm a man. I like man stuff. Does anybody here like man stuff? Okay. Ladies, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be a man for a minute, okay? I like guns. Things that go bang, you know? I like to shoot guns. Not at people. I'm not a monster. I like guns. Kind of a, I guess it's man in me, right? I like meat. Come on now. Order a pizza, you put all the meat on it you can get on it, I'll be happy, right? I don't want a salad bar, I want a steak. I like meat. I like motorcycles. Yeah. There's something about going down the road. I don't like doing 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. That just seems to me to be foolish. But I do like riding motorcycles. When I like football. Gee, I mean, let's face it, football is one of the greatest sports ever invented. That's good stuff. I can't wait till fall when college football rolls around again. I think like a man. I act like a man. I'm glad I'm a man, which is probably not the most popular statements in the world given the feminist society that we are living in. But that's okay. I'm glad God made me a man. I can get ready in 15 minutes. You know, it's interesting about men, how we can be passionate about things. You ever sit down and just talk with another guy? They talk about the engine in their car. We talk about how far we can drive the golf ball, how fast our motorcycles will run, and how accurate we are with our guns, and how good we smoked meat last week. We can be passionate about a lot of things. But I want to ask you today, are you passionate about Jesus? If not, why not? Why not? Like I say, we can sit down with one another. We can talk about all these manly things. But do we sit down and we talk to people about Jesus? We can name the greatest baseball player that ever was, which, by the way, is Babe Ruth. I don't care what you say. But can we read our children the Word of God? You know? Can we pray? Take the hand of our sons and daughters and sit down and pray and converse with God in their hearing. You see, that's what a real man is. David was a man after God's own heart. And he was you got to understand, David, he was serious. He was the man that went out and faced Goliath when nobody else would. He's the man that when Saul offered the hand of his daughter, Saul said, you just go out and kill 100 Philistines and you can have my daughter. You know what David did? He went out and killed 100 Philistines. Do you know what he was passionate about? He was passionate about God. A man after God's own heart. And that's what I want to challenge our men today. Let's be passionate about God. In a world that it's not popular to be passionate about God, let's be men. Let's stand up. Let's be strong. And let the world know. Let our children know. Let our wives know. Let our friends know. Let everybody we work with know that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven. Let us be men and take our stand. Be a man. Assume responsibility. David told his son, keep the charge of the Lord. Prove yourself a man. Be man enough to do the things that men, that most people are not willing to do. That's what he's saying. Prove it. And we can talk about how manly we are. And I can sit up here and I can say, oh, I can bench press 1,000 pounds. What are you going to tell me? Prove it, preacher. Right? We can talk about how we love Jesus. But I want to challenge you today, prove it. Be a man. Put it into practice. Let the world see. I mean, let's face it. Our faith is grounded in men who were willing to prove their love and their devotion to God. Men like Noah. Can you imagine? God tells Noah, build a boat, it's going to rain. First question is, what's rain? It's never rained before. Then God gave Noah the dimensions of the boat, 450 feet long. That's a big boat. Like a football field and a half. Okay? 75 feet wide, three stories high, 45 feet high, big. And you know what God did? You know what Noah did when God said, build the boat? Noah built the boat. Men like Abraham, whom God said, God told Abraham, get out of your country. Go to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. You know what Abraham did? He left. Got out of his country, did what God told him to do. Men like David, who stood Goliath when no one else will. Do you know why these are heroes of the faith? Do you know why God called on these men? Because they would do it. They would do it. They were man enough to step up and do what no one else would do. And that's my challenge to the men today. Be a man. Do you know, I'm firmly convinced that the reason we don't see the mighty hand of God today is because we're not willing to step out on faith and do the big things anymore. Amen. You know, I mean, think about it. Think about it. What big things have you taken on that God has called you to? What big things are you doing? And we back up and say, well, God doesn't work like He used to. No, God still works as well as He ever worked. It's us that doesn't seem to want to get involved anymore. Be a man. Be a man that puts into practice the things in God's Word that instills God into His children. Be a man that loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Be a man who will not compromise his convictions for the profit of the world. Be a man. That's what David's simply saying to his young son Solomon. Be a man. A man of God. Walk in the ways of God. And then he goes on and shares with Solomon what that looks like. He said, keep the charge of the Lord. Walk in His ways. Keep His statutes and His commandments. You know something that's always bothered me, I'll be honest with you. We go through a list like this, and my question is, what's the difference? Keep His statutes and His commandments, His judgments and His testimonies. You ever wonder, say, why didn't they just say, do what God says? Right? Be much simpler. That's kind of manly, isn't it? But he goes down a list, and I found when God goes into detail like this, it's for a reason. And so when he says, keep the statutes and the commandments, he's saying, Solomon, you've got to have a standard. There has to be a standard for your life. The commandments. We know what the commandments are. The Ten Commandments, the do's and don'ts. Thou shalt and thou shalt not, right? But what about the statutes? Well, it's like this. You've got the commandments, which says what you do and what you don't do. The statutes explain how to do or not to do something. Okay, that's the difference between the two. For example, if you had a book called the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments would be the ten chapters of the book. The statutes would be how the body of each chapter that talks about each commandment. Give you an example. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Says, you shall have no other gods before me. That sounds easy, but how do you do that? Well, he goes on and he explains in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. He says, don't make any graven images. In verse 5, he said, don't bow down and serve them. In verse 7, he says, don't take the name of your Lord God, your God in vain. You see? That's what he's talking about. And he's talking about there has to be a standard. Listen, a lot of men claim Christianity. But my question is, do you display it daily to your children? Do they know that you are a man of conviction, that you believe that if God said it, that's it? Yeah? I mean, that's the kind of men we need in the world today. Not men who swap sides of the boat every time the breeze changes. Not men who will compromise their conviction just because there's a profit to be made. We need men who say, thus saith the Lord, that's what I believe, God said it, and that settles it. Yeah. Men willing to be men. I love Joshua 24:15. Every Father's Day you get this verse, right? And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, what did he say? We will serve the Lord. Gentlemen, Are you the spiritual leader in your home that makes that abundantly clear? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You want your wife to respect you, men? Lead. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You want your children to respect you? Lead. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Take a stand. Be what you say you are. Be a man. Be a man. Put into practice what you say you believe. Then, a failure to confess. And here's the thing about being a man. We make mistakes. No amens on that one? Oh, come on. You know why there are no amens on that one? Because it's not manly. Right? I don't like to talk about my failures. Why? Because it makes me feel like a failure. That's the way we men are. Yeah? But here are the facts. When God said, when David told Solomon, keep my judgments, or keep God's judgments, that word judgments means to decide or to rule. So he said, you start by putting into practice the commandments, and then put into practice the judgments, which are what to do when you fail. Okay? What God has said, this is what you do, and this is what you do when you fail. Now, as you read here, I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, the command would be, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? That's the command. Well, what about if you did commit adultery? Well, the judgment would be, you were to be stoned. Right? You messed up, this is the result. That's the judgment. Right? A lot of things in the Old Testament. And the reason that it was that way is because man needed to understand that the wages of sin is death. There was a message to be portrayed there or proclaimed there. But you know, we're living in the New Testament, the age of grace. I praise God for grace. Because even though when I ask if y'all had made mistakes and very few were willing to say amen, you see, I know you. And you're very similar to me. You've made plenty. And you can hide those mistakes and you can pretend they didn't happen. But I want to tell you what, God knows. God knows what you are. He knows what you've done. He knows if you've been faithful. He knows if you've been unfaithful. He knows if you're an example for your kids. He knows if you're not an example for your kids. He knows if you're practicing what you preach, and He knows if you're not. You see, He knows it all. The good news is, God is a forgiving God. You see, when we talk about His judgments, we've got to be willing to deal with our failures. Oh, I look back as a parent, and boy, you know, I made some doozies. Listen, folks, and let me get the attention of every child here. If your parents are still alive, don't begrudge your parents for mistakes, because they are human. And I will tell you this, you will make mistakes too. If you're a teenager and you know everything about how dad and mom are just so wrong, oh, you just hold on a few years. Your time's coming. Okay? Your opportunity to make those mistakes will come. The question is not if we'll make mistakes, it's when we make mistakes, what are you going to do about it? You've got to be big enough to get on your knees and repent, men. That's what I'm saying, okay? It doesn't take a big man to stand and resist and rebel. That's not being a man. A man is when you're willing to get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. I want to turn from the direction that I've been going, and I want to go a new direction. Lord, forgive me. You see, the Bible tells the wonderful thing about it is John chapter 1, verse 9, we're told if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Listen, you want to know why so many men are walking around with this big old ugly frown on their face and they have no time for God's house? It's because they have a lot of stuff built up on the inside they've not never taken care of. You see, they don't know how to deal with the judgment of God. God says, "Come unto me, you who are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It doesn't take a man to resist. It takes a man to get on his knees and repent. Guys, remember that. Okay? Remember that. You'll make mistakes, but it's all right. It's not okay to live in an error. Okay? Be a man. Fess up. And move on. Then we go on. We've got a testimony to profess. When he said, "Keep my commandments, my statutes, my judgments, and my testimony." What is a testimony? A testimony is a witness. A declaration, if you will, of who God is. Listen. What David is telling his son is, you are a living testimony to who God is. That's what he's telling his son. Right? Now, you know, we think of testimonies we read in here, and we read about who God is, and no, testimony is who He really is. Let me ask you a question. Men, is God real to you? Is He? If He's not, something's terribly wrong. Okay? And I ask that question because I've had people make the statement, you know, it just seems that God's not real to me. Why do you think that is? What's even more serious or disturbing is that when we have that question in our hearts, man, is God real to me? Guess who else is watching us? Our children. You won't fool your kids. Okay? You can say what you want to and you can put on your Sunday suit every week, but your kids live with you. And if God's real to you on Sunday, He'll be real to you every other day of the week. Okay? You're not going to fool your kids. You're not going to fool your wife. You're not going to fool the people you work with. You see, when He says, keep the testimony of God, He's saying, let people see who God really is, Solomon, by your life. All right? And that's my challenge to our men, our fathers, our husbands today. Let people see who God really is by your life. You know, Jesus said, you're the light of the world, a city that cannot be hid, set upon a hill. This world, quite frankly, is not going to read the Bible. You know that? This sinful world is not, for the most part, there's going to be exceptions, but this sinful world is not going to open up the Word of God and say, this is who God is. They're not going to. You know what they're going to do? They're going to watch you and they're going to watch me. And when they see us not living up to what we claim to believe, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say their God's not real. That's why this last part's so important. Keeping the testimonies, letting God or letting people see who God really is to you. Now I want to ask you a question. We started out with a smile and talking about manly things. Now I want to close with seriousness. Okay? Men, are you a real man, spiritually speaking? Does your wife know where you stand in the Lord? Are you a child of God? Listen, you cannot be a good man until you're a child of God. You've got to have divine strength to go through this life. Are you saved? If not, it starts with a walk with Jesus. Not a play, not a pretend, but a real walk with Jesus, where you called upon Jesus Christ, asking Him to save you. Have you done that? If you've not, I want to invite you to come in this invitation. Maybe you've already done that. You know that you're going to heaven when you die because Jesus is your Savior. Glory to God. Question number two. Have you set the example through baptism? Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Listen, if you don't follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, that's like saying, God, I want you to save me, but I don't really want to follow you. Okay? Now, that's not a good thing. Right? You got to go public. So that's what baptism is. It's a public declaration of who Jesus is. Men, if you're not baptized, you need to come forward and let's get that scheduled. And maybe you're here, you're saved, you're baptized, but man, you've just really blown it. The good news is, you don't have to live in failure. Your God says, come on back. Confess your sin to me. I'm faithful and just to forgive. The good news to this message is it doesn't matter where you are in your life, Jesus is the answer. Would you come as we have a verse of invitation? Heavenly Father, we praise you for the day. Lord, we thank you for these words of wisdom in which David offered his son Solomon. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being fathers and men in today's world. Help us to be real men. Men who will follow you and do what you call us to do. Be what you call us to be. Men who are willing, Lord, to step out on faith, trusting you. Men willing to leave their homes, their families, their children, to love their wives. Men willing to be real men. And now in this invitation, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.